Navigating Solo is the official Singles Adult Ministry podcast of the United Pentecostal Church International. Navigating Solo is dedicated to encouraging single adults in every stage of life by using biblical principles to navigate discussion on various topics. Here's your host, Dr. Lorraine Orozco.
Welcome, everybody, to the official second season of Navigating Solo. I am your host, Dr. Lorraine, and I am so honored to have our very first guest with us this season, Sister Lysandra Trumbull, one of my dear, wonderful friends and lovely, lovely, most lovely person I have met. Lysandra, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Lorraine, thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to be here with you today.
Well, my friend, I'm so happy that you are going to be here sharing so much of your life and your testimony with our singles. And I just wanted to go ahead and start with your introduction. Just tell us a little bit about where you're from and your family and anything about yourself that you want to share. And then we'll just kind of start going from there.
Okay. Well, my name is Lysandra Trumbull. I'm originally from Odessa, Texas, born and raised. I left there when I was 20, moved to St. Louis, Missouri. I actually met Anthony while they were evangelizing in Odessa. That was one of their stops. And we just were friends for a couple years, I guess, really good friends. We talked every week. We just stayed connected. And even when we weren't, you know, dating, we were just really good friends. So we eventually started dating and all of that. And I guess the rest is history. So they say. I moved to St. Louis and we were there for a while, with the exception of a year in Chicago. We were in Chicago for a year, the first year we were married. But my family, my maiden name is Guerrero. My mom and dad lived in Texas for many years. They're now in St. Louis here. They've been here since 2020, and I'm so thankful and happy to have them close by. And I have a brother.
Oh, yes, you do. Daniel, who I have met. Thank you, brother.
Can't forget my wonderful, amazing brother, Daniel.
Yeah. And you three beautiful little boys. Just tell us about your boys and their ages.
So we waited a few years to have kids. I actually, when we were dating, I actually didn't want children. I kind of, you know, just saw that they were a lot of work and all of those things. You know, I had cousins that had children at young ages, and I said, you know, I just don't think that's for me. But Anthony was like, I'll pray about it. So we waited, and after about 6 years, the Lord, he did work on my heart, and I realized, I guess this is something that I desire, you know. So then we had three beautiful boys. The first two were planned. The last one was our little miracle surprise. But all wonderful, and we're all just thrilled about him. And they've been amazing in this season, of course. Blessings, and getting to see his mannerisms and his features and things like that in them has blessed me tremendously. It's painful too, but it's such a beautiful blessing. And then we also actually, we did lose a child whenever our first baby that we got pregnant with. I miscarried around 12 weeks. And so we have one in heaven. Anthony's there with our little one now. So yeah, that's our family.
So I wanted you to just tell us about your ministry and your journey with Anthony, because you mentioned that you guys were in St. Louis and then in Chicago. So what did ministry look like for the both of you?
Well, we were both very involved in ministry before we became a couple. We felt very called to serve in the local church and just however we could serve God. We were very invested in the kingdom of God before we became a couple. So we just continued that route and just, whatever God led us to, that we put our hands to the plow, when we went to Chicago, we started out as the music ministers. And then a few months into that, we made way for the youth pastors to transition. They were wanting to start a church of their own and a daughter work. And it allowed us to step into that role, and we became youth pastors as well as the worship ministers there. Wonderful, wonderful time. We have great connections and friendships, and we were only there for a year, but we really dug in deep and really made connections there. We did end up coming back to St. Louis because Anthony's father actually had to have quadruple bypass surgery, and the doctors told him, like, you can't do this on your own, basically. So we came back for that and just began helping his dad with the church in St. Charles.
So can you tell me a little bit about your journey with Anthony's illness? Because I know that for a very long time, health-wise, things were great, things were fine, and then things kind of started to change in the last couple of years of your marriage.
So there's a lot of up and downs, right? So we were just always at the doctor, always at the hospital, for testing, blood work, imaging, all of that, so even when things were, well, we were still very much in that streamline and in that frame of mind, and we got to do a lot more, and we got to be, very invested in the ministries that we were doing, and we got more liberty. We didn't have to take as much time off during those good years, but it was all very much a part of our world at all times, but I think it really allowed us to live very intentionally and allowed us to really live the life we wanted to live, prioritize and be cognizant of our choices of our calendar and the people we wanted to connect with and pour into, and just priorities, bottom line, just prioritize and be very intentional. And Anthony had a lot of goals that he set for himself and said, I want to accomplish this, this, and this. He was like, even if I end up getting healed and live for the rest of my life, like, I want to accomplish these things and be intentional now. And he did that. He did everything that he set out to do, on his list, and then some. So he left a great example for the boys in that way, that he just dug in deep for all of us, honestly, not just for my boys, but for all of us to just remember, like, living intentionally, so I would say throughout all of the illness and everything, even though it was very complicated and there were a lot of ups and downs and there's a lot of emotional highs and then low lows, because you could get a scan, you could get two scans that were great, nothing's growing. And then all of a sudden you get a scan that's like, oh, well, it's doubled in size, So you just kind of roll with the punches and you're like, okay, God, we still believe, it doesn't matter what the report says. We're just going to keep moving forward in faith and trusting you, So it taught us a lot about trust and just being consistent no matter what, And I think, I don't know, it just taught us a lot of good lessons. It was hard and it was difficult, but it taught us a lot of wonderful things that we probably wouldn't have learned outside of that. And we made a lot of wonderful, wonderful connections and had a lot of wonderful and dear friends and family that we got to invest in.
That is such a blessing to be able to have connected and made such a difference in people's lives. And you said that you did ministry intentionally because you didn't know what was going to happen from day to day, and setting those goals and wanting to make a difference, and just having those deep roots where you're at and all over the world. All the people that you guys met.
In Jesus' name,
Beautiful thing. beautiful thing. So I just wanted to ask one more question. I know that about Anthony's illness, but I do know that it was at first it was liver cancer, and then it was at first there was something, and then it transitioned. It was always liver cancer.
So it actually, that's what he passed away from, but he actually started out with colon.
Colon cancer.
So
Okay.
colon was where it originated. And had we caught it a lot earlier, who knows where we would be, but we didn't. And so it had traveled to like the lymphatic system and other organs and things like that. The liver was the big one. It had taken over a lot of his liver. They wouldn't even touch him with surgery in the beginning. They had given him about 2 years to live at max. So when we got the diagnosis, it was very dire, and it was very, they were like, basically, if nothing changes, then we really can't do anything, but the Lord allowed for him to find some healing. And he went from like 20 lesions down to like five. And that was just, the doctors were just blown away, and it was the Lord, it was just the Lord. And it even came to where his original cancer in the colon actually ended up being completely absolved. They couldn't even find the tumor. They could see the tumor marking where they had marked it during a surgery, but there was no tumor. So, the Lord definitely healed Anthony many times throughout our journey. He did. He multiple times we saw the Lord's hand move on his life and extend his life beyond what they had originally given us, And those are gifts, That's a gift from God that we know we have for certain, that he blessed us with. And I'm grateful because we wouldn't have Graham, we wouldn't have the extra memories, and all of that extra love that we were able to pack in there, just really grateful for the extra time. And we were able to be not only intentional with our ministry, but intentional with our family and really bind together and just live life together. We would bring them along on trips and that we could, and just live life together and make memories as much as we could.
So it was the summer, was it the summer of 2021? Is that when he passed? And then so it has been 3 years, almost 3 years, or two and a half, 3 years this summer. So after that loss, what was that experience like for you? And you had these three beautiful little boys, and you were a single mom for the first time. And so what was that like for you?
It was a lot, honestly, if I'm just being honest. It was a really, really hard time. It was a very difficult time. I've experienced loss many times in my life, but never to this degree. It wasn't a loss that I was familiar with or that I was ready for. I know that Anthony was sick, but I just wholeheartedly believed that he was going to have healing. I really did. I mean, even up to the end, I even told the Lord, you could raise him up at his funeral, And the Lord spoke to me and said, do you really want me to bring him back from this place, this wonderful, beautiful, amazing place that he's lived his whole life to get to, And I was convicted in my heart and just immediately like, of course not. No, but the grief was so deep and it was so just, oh gosh, it was just all encompassing. And I just felt like I was drowning in it all the time, So navigating that of what I was going through internally while being a single mom, suddenly it was a very great challenge. And I definitely had to rely on my little village. There were days where I would just go to my mom's house and say, can I just sit here and just be, And she would say, of course, she would make the boys a snack and I would literally just sit there and do nothing, So there were times where I just, it was just hard to manage. But then there were days that it was like the Lord just gave me the wisdom and the knowledge of what to do and how to do it. And or he would give me a source, someone who would speak into my life and say, don't beat yourself up, keep doing what you're doing, whatever, and just give me the encouragement that I needed to keep going. I really tried hard. I didn't want my boys to look back on this time and it just be a dreadful, dreadful time. It was already horrible enough that they lost their dad. I didn't want their days after that to be nothing but mourning, I really wanted to try hard to bring life to the situation and bring the things that were important to us as a family, like I said, making memories, connecting with family and friends. I tried to still live that way, even after Anthony was gone. I thought, what better way to honor him than to live the way he taught us to live, So I tried really hard to do that for my boys and it not be a dreadful period of time. I wanted them to have memories, even if we were going to see their daddy at the grave, like, let's do good things here while we're here. Let's eat snow cones with daddy. Let's listen to his favorite song. Let's listen to his music. Let's blow bubbles while we're hanging out with daddy. Just wanted there to be life in the middle of a really hard time. We invested in a lot of the things we loved to do, and we went and saw family near and far. Just tried our best, to make it through and survive and dare I say, even try to thrive in moments. I don't know that I felt like it was thriving in the moment. I didn't. There was a lot of times that I was doing because I knew it was what we should be doing, not because it was what I felt in my spirit, I wanted to crawl into a corner and not come out. I wanted to just cry in my room and never come out. I remember in the early days, especially praying, God, please just take us, just take all of us together. Like, why did you leave us behind? Just take us too. Like, put us out of our misery, It was just a really hard, 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 hard time. But the Lord was with us every step of the way. He was so close, so close. I can't, I understand now why people go to addictions, why they find themselves addicted to certain things and try to fill those holes and they just want the pain to stop. Like I have such an understanding of that now, where I didn't maybe before, I mean, you kind of know with your head, right? Like you have the knowledge of that, but it felt so much more real to me, and I became so aware of why people try to fill the holes, of pain with whatever they can get their hands on because they just want it to stop. And I have the Lord, and I was in that place where just wanted the pain to stop, So I can't even imagine people without the Lord where they're at and why they go to those places.
Yeah, that's really hard to imagine. What would we do without the Lord if we didn't have him? Where would we be? In the midst of pain, he is the person that guides us, and he is the comforter. So I
Yes.
want to ask you too, what are some of the other things? You kind of mentioned some things about going to your mom's house and just kind of just being able just to be there. But what are some of the other things that have been a comfort to you during this difficult time?
Girl, I tried it all. I did it all. That was under the approval of the Lord. I did all
Not
the things that
addictions,
were
just really great Jesus things.
Yes. I stayed going to church. I did for a few weeks. A couple of weeks I stopped. I didn't go to church because I was just trying to get my bearings. I was trying to rest, all of those things. But I did, when I went back, there were a lot of times I didn't want to go to church. But I went because I knew that was going to be a source of strength for me. And it was every time. A lot of times I cried through the whole thing, or sometimes I could only come after worship had begun. I would come a little late and things like that. Because hearing his music in the beginning was extremely difficult for me. And I almost just couldn't listen to it in the beginning. But over time that changed, but I still went to church. I just would show up a little late, continued doing that. I continued reading books, lots of books, podcasts, sermons, things like that that people maybe would share with me. Music, I made playlists, playlists that would help me grieve. I made playlists that would help me feel victorious. I just tried to aid myself in whatever way I could. I stayed away from certain things that I knew would restrict my growth, and restrict my healing. There were certain things I just didn't touch or couldn't go near or couldn't do. There were even maybe friendships that I had to like distance myself from because I knew I can't do it in this time in this season. Like I kind of had to shelter a little bit, in some ways, which was very different for me. That was not something I was used to doing. But the Lord helped me navigate what I needed along the way. I did grief share. I met with friends one on one. I met with mentors one on one. When I say I did it all, I pretty much did it all. I went to a counselor. I just wanted to find healing so very badly. So I didn't want to waste the time, I didn't want to waste that time of that I was allotted to heal and develop. So I tried to do whatever I could. And trust me, there were days that I just did nothing, where I had a PJ day, and I couldn't do anything. I had plenty of those days too, But self-care, focusing on yourself, going to doctor's appointments, like actually making doctor's appointments, getting a nail pedicure,
Nanny
some of
Petty.
those, just some of those things that maybe you didn't focus on as much before, but you have this time to like really zone in and focus on yourself and help yourself heal a little bit, And some seasons we don't need as much of that, but then in some seasons we do, and that's okay, There was this book that I read to the boys called The Invisible String. I don't know if you've heard it. It's about grief. It's about, losing. But it's about a string that's connected, that connects you to your loved one, no matter where they are in the world or where they're not, that string is invisible and it always connects you to them. And when I read that, I was like, that's exactly how I feel. That's how I feel with Anthony. Like, I never feel far from his love. I never feel like it's, I don't know, I just, it's not gone. It's not gone. The love is still there. Our friendship is still there. And there are times when I'm even in worship, where I feel this connection to like I'm like we're together worshiping the one true God at the same time. He's on the other side of the veil and I'm on this side of it, but we're doing it at the same time. And I can feel it. I can feel that. And it's beautiful. And that has given me so much comfort. It's given me a lot of comfort to know that God is taking care of us both at the same time.
That is so wonderful, Lysandra. I'm so thankful that you mentioned so many of these things because people that have also been in this situation or are going through this, just understanding that, you know what? At first, I couldn't go to church, but I went anyway, even when I didn't feel like it, because it was a source of strength and doing what felt comfortable to you. You know what? I may not be able to go to the beginning of worship service, but I'm going to keep showing up and I'm going to go to grief share. I love that you mentioned grief share and counselors and all of the books and the things for you and your kids because, all of those things you said you didn't want to waste this season of that. That was all part of your growth and your grief and learning and stuff. So, yes, you did all the things
I
and
tried.
all things and self-care, lots of self-care and those PJ moments necessary, all the things that were necessary. So, I love that. I love that you shared that with us. So, thank you. I know our listeners will definitely appreciate that. And then that book too, we'll have to put that on our site as well in the link just so that anybody wants to know about grief. You said the invisible string, was that what the name of the book was? Okay. It was the kid.
It's a kid's book. It's a kid's book, but it's beautiful.
Oh, okay. That sounds amazing. Sounds like something that would be a really great resource to some people. So
Yes.
I wanted to kind of switch gears and I wanted to ask What do you see, or would you like to see for the future for you and your boys? Like right now, I mean, this is a couple years in, and what does that look like for you?
I honestly think it looks like it does for everybody, for anyone. We want our families to be stable. We want our families to thrive, to use talents and their giftings for God and for the kingdom, to draw closer to God in their relationship. I don't think it's any different than it was 5 years ago. I still want the same thing for my boys. I want them to grow up as young, integral, strong men. I want them to have balance and stability and all of those wonderful things that any parent wants,
I was just thinking to myself that I've seen some videos of your oldest, and I believe he was playing the piano. And I just thought, wow, I just was so blown away. You know, the talent, I mean, you already know, like, those are just talents that you're getting from dad and things getting from mom. But how beautiful to see your son being up there and following in Anthony's footsteps of playing the piano and singing and doing so many of the wonderful things. And you talked about how you get to see some of these things in Anthony, both painful and amazing and beautiful as they're growing up. And so I love that. I love that. Do any of your other boys do that? Is it just your oldest that
No, it's very much all of them. Davis, actually, he probably has the most mannerisms like his daddy, my middle boy. When he worships and talks, and just some of his facial expressions and things like that, very much like his daddy. There have been times where he's been in the kids' choir and he'll be singing and worshiping, and I'm like bawling my eyes out because it's like just his little mini daddy, It's precious and it's so rich, it's so rich, but. Yeah, it's all bittersweet. All of the experiences now are bittersweet, but they're beautiful, and they're precious. And seeing them emulate their daddy, even though they can't even see him to emulate him, it's still very beautiful and precious. It's just a part of who they are.
So I wanted to go in and ask, what encouraging words would you like to give anyone who has experienced loss and is dealing with grief?
I would say, whew, just to trust the process. I remember every day feeling like I can't do this, or feeling like this is gonna go on forever, like feeling like there was no end in sight, just totally suffocated by it. But there is an end in sight. It does get easier. It does become different. You carry it differently. This whole process, Lorraine, has not been about getting over grief. It's been about learning how to live with grief, learning how to adapt it to who you are now and what your life is now. You have a different life now. It looks different. It feels different. And you're coming to terms with all of this. There's some huge changes while you're losing, while you're grieving the loss of someone who you love so deeply, So just give yourself some grace. It's not always going to look like you're on the mountaintop. Most days it doesn't. It doesn't. Most days you feel like you're in the absolute pit. But just trust the process and trust that God truly is healing you. If you're seeking him, and if you're asking for that healing, and you're doing things to try and heal, he's going to honor it. He's going to get you through. He's going to help you through every step of the way. But keep doing the things you know to do, not the things you feel to do. I felt like I was going insane some days. Like, why in the world do I feel to do something so ridiculous? Like you really do feel like you're losing your mind some days. And I just thought, I have to just do the things I know to do, not rely on my feelings, not rely on what's the crazy storm that's happening inside of me. just do the things I know to do. And that's what keeps you, and that's what holds you. It's the Lord. It's purely the Lord. It's His grace. It's His mercy. It's His guiding hand that holds you and keeps you. So just stay close to Him, and He'll sustain you the whole way.
Absolutely. Now, in our closing remarks, as we're kind of ending up the interview, and I'm so thankful that you have come in and shared with us these things. But is there anything else that you want to mention about your life now, about your life then, about life with Anthony? Anything that you wanted to say to our listeners today?
It's all difficult, all of it. Even the happy stuff, like I said, it's all bittersweet. And just know that that's okay. Like, it's a journey. I'm in a new season, and it has brought so much beauty and sunshine to my life. But it's also very difficult, and it's two-sided, and that's okay. I'm growing, I'm learning how to navigate a new season. I'm learning how to essentially love two people. We weren't taught how to do that. You know what I mean? We leave and cleave to one person, And so this has been, it's been a journey for me, honestly. It's been beautiful. It's been wonderful, but it's also been a two-sided coin where it's also been very difficult in learning how to navigate all of that. So just know that if things don't always feel like they're on the mountaintop, it's okay. It's a part of the process. And hold on and cherish to all of the beautiful things and all of the wonderful memories and the history, and bring it with you, and bring it into the next season and the next stage, and just let it be a part of the way you live. Some people try to shut out what was because it's painful, but that's not healthy either, because then we're shutting, that means we're shutting out that love that we experienced, so you're gonna hurt anyway. So just bring it along for the ride, and let yourself love and let yourself and be enveloped in all of that.
And new seasons, and God brings us into new seasons. And like you said, just making sure that we're continuing to not shut out the old, but bring it into the new season in our life, and just watch God make it just beautiful and bloom and all the things that He wants it to be and to do for our life and to teach us.
Amen.
I wanted to kind of just end with talking about the book Coffee with Anthony that I know Brother Michael Enzi has done. And Anthony put so many musical albums together, just so talented with all of the things, and any that even after his death that there were several songs that were released, such beautiful things that he has written, and a memory for you and your kids, and just to share with all of our believers out there, just to be encouraged. So can you just tell me a little bit about Coffee with Anthony, the book that I think it's been, I don't know how long it's been, I don't think it's been quite a year since it's
Not
come out,
yet.
but
Not
it's
yet.
been, I know that there have been several people that have just said so many great things about this book. So can you just tell our listeners who how they can get it, but a little bit about the book?
Sure. So Coffee with Anthony kind of came about with a conversation, actually, with Brother Michael Enzi. He was visiting Anthony. It was in the end, of his life, and Brother Enzi was just, spending time with him. And Anthony told him, man, because he wanted to write a book. Anthony wanted to write a book called Coffee with Michael. And because of what Michael meant to him through this process, he was a very consistent source of strength for Anthony during this time, and was just a mentor and someone that just helped him, like, push through some things, So he had told Michael that he wanted to write a book about his experience in this time, and how Michael helped him. But he told him, well, I'm not gonna be able to write that book. I'm so sorry, Michael, and Michael said, oh, bro, I'm gonna write a book called Coffee with Anthony. And so that was where it spawned from that moment. And Anthony was just, of course, enamored by that. But I don't know if he totally believed that he would do it, because that's such a huge undertaking. When he said it, it was like that was so sweet, but I didn't know if he was truly going to do it. And he absolutely was on it, nailed it. And it's a beautiful book. He incorporated many other friends that are authors in the book that talk about their experiences and things that they saw in Anthony. They saw him live out, and the principle, they write about the principles of what he lived out, from their perspective, from how they saw it. So it's a really neat compilation of different authors. It's got a little bit of Anthony in there too. He had begun writing a book. And so there's some excerpts from that in there, and some photos and things like that in there. It's just a really cool little book. So you can get it on Amazon, and you can also get it through PPH,
Okay.
both of those
And
avenues.
what I understand is that this book, the proceeds to this book are to, what are the, are, is it the home, the house, the boys? I forgot what that was.
So it's set up for like a little college. They're going to put the proceeds towards their college, like a college fund for them.
Wow.
And he's actually already sending us some proceeds from the book for each of them. And I had already set up a little college fund for them, so it's just going to go straight into that. And when we get to a certain point, then the rest of that is going to go towards a scholarship for, I believe it's in Urshan. They're going to do a scholarship for Urshan, in Anthony's name. So very cool stuff, very cool stuff. And very much, just proud of that legacy and want to see that fulfilled. So.
And that's wonderful. That gives your boys an opportunity, something to look forward to. The money goes for their education and for a Urshan scholarship. And what a great thing that this has been able to do for your family, but also, so many people that have been able to read this book and have been so blessed by it.
I hope so.
And I was thinking, live like Anthony. I know that was a hashtag, a thing during
Yeah.
this time. And that is just so precious that you have that. Well,
Yeah, it's a gift.
I just want to thank you again for being our first guest on the second season of Navigating Solo. And throughout all of this, you kept saying navigating all this, and I thought that is kind of the theme of our podcast is navigating solo, and that has been your journey for the last few years, and you have navigated so beautifully with the help of the Lord and with your village, the community of people,
Yes.
the village of community. And so I am looking forward to seeing the things that God is going to do for you and your boys. And I know that God is already unfolding such great things. And so I'm excited to see how that all turns out for you. And God is just so good. He is just an amazing God. And
He's
so
so faithful.
I'm so thankful. So thank you for listening, podcast listeners, to this interview with Sister Lysandra Tremble. It has been my honor. So to all of our listeners, God bless. Bye-bye.
Hi.
Join us next week for another great interview on Navigating Solo.